Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
It's January 27th, 1924. And another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ollie, the Retrospectors.
He wanted to be buried next to his mother in St. Petersburg's Volkovo Cemetery, but instead the corpse of the father of the revolution, Vladimir Lenin, founder of the Soviet Union, was placed on display in Moscow's Red Square, today in history in 1924, where, astonishingly, he remains. And if my body looks that shiny a century after my death, I will be delighted.
Yeah, so Lenin had died 6 days previously at the age of 53. He'd been in bad health for years. He'd had three strokes. In fact, the previous year, the Soviet government had privately discussed plans for his embalming. So this had been in the works for a while. So the body was initially brought to the Hall of Columns in the House of the Unions, which is this grand house in Moscow that was once a ballroom for the aristocracy, like quite fittingly. But straight away, they knew that they wanted something specifically dedicated to Lenin to display the body. So the following night, they called the architect Alexei Shushev to the Kremlin, and he was given 4 days to design and create a purpose-built structure to host Lenin's body in Red Square.
Yeah, I mean, that is the astonishing thing, that they get up at least a wooden version of the mausoleum in 6 days. I mean, they knew this was coming. He had had those strokes, as you mentioned, Rebecca. And, you know, so much of the project of the USSR had come to be focused on Lenin that in spite of the fact that so much of communism was very anti-religion and, you know, divine ideology, they really focused this sense of divinity on Lenin.
Yeah, he wasn't embalmed at this stage because it was winter. It was January in Moscow, so the cold preserved his body initially. But so many hundreds of thousands of Soviet public came to pay their respects to Lenin that they realized that, you know, they need a permanent... I mean, I don't think even Stalin would have guessed that he'd still be there in 2023. But anyway, a semi-permanent exhibition of Lenin's body. And so they had to create embalming techniques that had never been done before.
Yeah, hilariously, the name of the group that was given the task of embalming him was the Commission for the Immortalization of the Memory of Lenin. Like, they interpreted their brief so literally. I got a way that we can preserve his memory by actually making sure his body never goes off. And so their approach came to be this melding of... both the sort of religious iconography of, you know, it had been based on this idea that saints in Russian Orthodox Christianity, their bodies never deteriorated at all. Melding that idea with like the latest in technology, and that was everything from, you know, using special embalming fluids to then starting to replace his body increasingly with pieces of actual plastic.
Yeah, it's like Trigger's broom, isn't it, Lenin's body? Like what you're looking at now, even if you buy the official line that it is Lenin and he's been embalmed through all kinds of cutting-edge processes that only the Russians know how to do,
yeah,
despite it looking very much like a waxwork, even if you buy that is him, it's him that's been sort of plasticated and replaced and polished and actually pumped with glycerin. None of him's left, really.
Yeah. You're not looking at 100% Lenin. You know, they've used synthetic materials to replace some of the skin that's deteriorated. The eyeballs, I think pretty early on, the eyeballs were replaced with synthetic eyeballs as well. But it's still, you know, it cost £150,000 a year was the figure I could find.
In the 1920s?
No. Up to the present day.
Okay, yeah.
It's costing still £150,000 a year. And there are five or six scientists who basically work on this full time.
Yeah, yes.
Nicknamed the Lenin Lab. And they also advise on the preservation. They've got a bit of a specialty here.
Yes.
They also advise on the preservation of Ho Chi Minh, Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, from the 1950s to the 1980s, up to 200 people were employed in the Lenin Lab. Although they temporarily lost government funding in the 1990s after the fall of the Soviet Union, but they survived through that period on private contributions.
And the Vietnamese also honoured the tradition of completely ignoring what their great leader wanted. Ho Chi Minh wanted to be cremated, yes. But he's on display. So you don't get to choose, apparently.
Well, and I can see why you wouldn't want this, because it's not dignified, is it?
No.
This is the thing that kept hitting me. You know, they're touching up the dark spots. They're like grafting artificial materials over the rotten bits. And once a year, they have to soak the body in a solution of glycerol and potassium acetate.
For 30 days, by the way.
Yeah.
Ooh.
For a whole month, he's out in that.
Which is why...
That's a holiday.
That lack of dignity is why it seems so peculiar that when Joseph Stalin died in 1953, he wanted for his body to exist next door to Lenin, like, you know, literally just next to him. And he had himself put in there between 53 until 61, even knowing, like, Lenin died and he didn't know what was going to become of his body. He wanted to be, he was like, put me in the ground. But Stalin was like, nope.
The part that I loved is, during the time that Stalin was there, it was renamed Lenin's and Stalin's, like a circus that had a new
just
partner.
Trips off the tongue. Yeah. Lenin and Sons.
But the political concept of turning Lenin into some sort of mascot to be venerated, which was developed behind the scenes in 1922 when he had his first and second stroke, it was the fourth stroke that killed him, did work. We talked about this a bit, a similar analogous situation in our episode about when Chairman Mao rehabilitated his image through wild swimming. That was a way of him trying to, pardon the pun, swim against the tide of being a mascot. You know, the Chinese wanted him to be a mascot. He wanted to say, no, I'm very much still alive, thanks. Look at what I can do. Yeah. I'd like to run the country again. Lenin, from the Soviets' point of view at this point, they knew he was probably going to die soon, needed to become a mascot.
Yeah.
Not a leader that you've lost. The revolution isn't over. We still live through Lenin. Lenin still sort of exists.
Yeah, in that interim period between Lenin dying and Stalin emerging, decisions were literally declared in the name of Lenin in this way where followers would recite, Lenin lived, Lenin lives, and Lenin will live. I mean, it's so incongruous with the ideas that Lenin was espousing for his entire life that it's astonishing that it worked.
You can see the escalation of the myth-making in the evolution of the mausoleum itself, because it's actually had three different faces, if you like. The first one, the one that the architect Alexei Shushev constructed in 4 days, that was literally just a wooden hut, and it had just had the word Lenin in big letters across the front. I mean, to be fair, it was minus 30 degrees Celsius when he was having this hut built in 4 days as well. And this is actually the reason that he continued to be associated with the project, is that he wasn't necessarily a great architect, but he had this reputation for being
good in the
completely
cold.
Ruthless. Yeah.
He gets it done.
He did get it done. He was later accused by detractors of running a creative sweatshop and exploiting all of his assistants, but that probably helped in this situation. So after this one, they then decided that, as you say, after they realised it wasn't just going to be a sort of traditional lying in state and then the body is buried, they decided they needed something more permanent. Hmm. And it was this third and final design, the one that you can see today, that has that famous sort of stepped pyramid look to it. And Shushev's original vision was for just a monolith, and it was going to be made of black porphyry, which is, you know, rock with like crushed quartz in it, so it's kind of sparkly. You might see it on
like
your
kitchen counter.
I was just going to say, on my parents' kitchen counter. Yeah. Was his original vision for Lenin's final resting place.
I mean, you can a little bit tell that there have been budget cuts on the way to the final design, because you do have St. Basil's Cathedral on one side and then the massive wall of the Kremlin that this is butted up against. And it just looks like a bit of an afterthought.
Have you been, Arian?
Yes.
And did it just look like a waxwork?
It's really hard to say.
That's what everyone says. My dad saw it and said it looked like a waxwork.
Yeah, it's really hard to say because the light in there is so low, but you do very much have the sense that you're looking at something where the lighting has been kept deliberately low. You know, this is the best that we've been able to do to preserve a guy who died really quite a long time ago. Don't look too carefully. you know, hurry along now. No videos in the whole place. Like, they make you stop, you know, and put your cameras away.
And was the parade of tourists going through, you know, I'm sure appropriately somber, but were any of them moved?
It's really hard to tell because you know what is and isn't appropriate once you're in that space. Yeah. And I think... Yeah. You know, you just, like the sort of queen lying in state, it's hard to know whether people are behaving that way because they really have to or because they're feeling it.
Well, it's an interesting comparison, isn't it? You do wonder if the queen's body had been put on permanent display, how long would that attract crowds for? I'd say a couple of decades.
I'd say longer, though. People go and see, you know, the palace that she lived in. I think people are really fascinated to feel like they've got, you know, they're sharing space with somebody famous. Mm.
Would you go and see Queen Victoria embalmed now? I suppose I probably would, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you looked at, like, stone sarcophagi and, like, you know, Westminster Cathedral and places like that? You know, you go and look at a statue of a dead person on their grave. Like, yeah, what if you could go and see the real thing?
And actually, probably in this country, they would let you take pictures, wouldn't they? So then we'd have a great influencer for our Instagram feed.
I mean, Samuel Pepys managed to kiss a dead queen, so maybe they'd let you really close.
And so another week of retrospecting ends, but next week begins a day early at Club Retrospectors. Join us now to get an exclusive episode every Sunday. Patreon.com/retrospectors.
Part of the Acast Creator Network.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.